Now we're holding the last words of Nun Gimel Amud Beis. We discussed yesterday in the Mishnah, Rav Meir says that if a man is Makadish with using Hektish, then it depends whether it was Beshergig or Bemazid. Rav Meir said that if it's Bemazid, meaning he knew that it was Hektish, then the Kedushin is valid. If it was Beshergig, then not. And Rav Yehuda says the other way around. So we were discussing why would the mayor say that if it was Beshoigig, it's no good, and Bemezid, it's good? So we brought a reason from Rabbi Yochanan that, two reasons, one of which applies to that, and the other one to Maisa Sheni, where the mayor says that, where the mayor says with Maisa Sheni, whether it was Beshoigig or Bemezid, he's not Makadish. And that according to Rav Meir, and so Rav Yochanan had explained one of them is because she doesn't want it, and the other one is because neither of them wants it if they know what it really is. And we had the discussion between Rav Yaakov and Rav Yirmiya, which reason would apply to which one. In any case, though, the point is that Rav Yochanan's opinion, Rav Yochanan's understanding of Rav Meir is predicated on the idea of Kedushei Tos. It's a predicated on the idea that there's some kind of mistake over here, and therefore, if they had known what it was, then they wouldn't, if she knew, or if they knew, as the case may be, then they wouldn't have done the Kedushin, or they wouldn't have accepted the Kedushin in this way. But it's all based on this idea of Kedushin Tos. So now, the Gemara is going to bring Rav, who learns different. Omar Rav, so Rav says, no, there's another reason why the mayor distinguishes with Hektish between Shergig and Mezid. Now, Rav doesn't like this explanation of Rabbi Yochanan to say that it has anything to do with Kedushei Tos or not. Rather, it is true that this that Rabbi Meir is saying that the Shergig, the Kedushin, are not valid. It's not because it's nothing to do with Kedushei Tos and nothing to do with that if it was the Shergig, then the Hektish would remain a Hektish and it wouldn't be Mischalel. Because Chazanu Akotzdodim Shara Meir, we've looked at every side of Rabbi Meir's opinion, every place where the Meir says anything regarding using Hektish and the Dinim of Me'ila, V'loi Matsinu Hektish Mishergig Mischalel. We never find the mayor saying such a thing that there would be a difference between Beshergig and Bemezid, where you would say that Beshergig, it remains hektish, and Bemezid, it does, because it is Mischalel. No, as a matter of fact, the mayor is going to say that it'll become chulin either way, whether it was Beshergig or Bemezid. Well, in that case, then why in the Mishnah is he saying that if he was Makadish with Hektish, Beshergig, it's not valid Kedushin? Again, given that Rav doesn't want to learn, like Rabbi Yochanan, that it's a matter of Kedushei Tos, that if he had known what it was, he wouldn't be Makadish. Rather, O Mishnah Seinu, Bekosnis Kehulna Shalei Bolu. Rather, our Mishnah is not talking about any kind of Hektish. It's talking about specifically the coats, the long shirts of the Kohanim that did not wear out, that are still usable, that the Kohanim can still wear. So in other words, if someone is going and is Makadish, a woman, using one, by giving her one of those shirts, would that be valid Kedushin or not? Reb Meir is going to say that depends on whether it was Beshergig or Bemezid. The implication seems to be that he'll say the same din, whether the guy who's doing the Kedushin is a Yisrael or a Kohen. Now, the reason the Gemara is going to give is actually more applicable to a Kohen. However, Rishonim will explain in a couple of different ways that if it's not going to be Me'ila for a Kohen, then it's not going to be, then it can't be for Yisrael as well. You can't really have something be Kodesh for one person and Cholin for a different person. And why is it that if the clothes of the Kohanim, whether we're talking about only the Kosnas or whether we're talking about other clothes of the Kohanim is a whole other question. But anyway, when they haven't worn out, when they're still usable, when they can still be worn by the Kohanim, then Hoyov Nitnu Lehonis Behen. The fact is the Kohanim have the ability to have Hana from them, while they're still usable. Meaning, in other words, so they wear them for the Avodah. That's not considered a hana because we have the concept mitzvah slav lahonis nitnu, that the benefit a person gets, the physical benefit that a person gets from doing it while doing a mitzvah, is not considered a hana in halacha. which comes up in many other areas of halacha. However, what happens is, what is the kohen allowed to wear the bigdei kohuna outside of the time of avodah? And the answer is yes. He could have hana from them, in particular, if it was b'shogeg, meaning that he takes them off after he's done the avodah, but inevitably he's wearing them for a short while after the avodah. L'fishal nitna torah malachim asharis. The Torah is not given to the malachim, who can act on a split second notice, where as soon as they're done with something, then they take it off. People can't do that. Of necessity, when the kohen has finished the avodah, he's going to be wearing the bigdei kohuna for a short while after that. So therefore, to begin with, when they were makdish the bigdei kohuna, or the money from which the bigdei kohuna is coming, they had in mind, Rashi explains, that they're allowed to have hana from them b'shoydig, that if they don't take them off immediately and they're not meaning to be mechalal them, then they're not going to be mechalal. So Rav says, applying that to our Mishnah, then that's why Rav Meir is distinguishing between Shogeg and Mezid and saying B'Shogeg it's valid Kedushin and B'Mezid it's not. Not because in general Rav Meir holds that Hektish is going to, that there's going to be a difference between Shogeg and Mezid in terms of whether the Hektish becomes Cholin, but because in this particular place with the Big Dekorna, to begin with, they're meant to be used B'Shogeg, they're meant to be used in a way where the Koyan has no intention of being Mechal then. And therefore, so the mayor would say then that if now he takes one of these kosnis kohuna and uses it for kedushin b'shogeg, well then, since b'shogeg they never go out from their status of hektish, therefore they remain hektish, they're not his to use for kedushin, and therefore the kedushin won't be valid. As opposed to b'mezid, the bigdei kohuna are not meant to be mechalal b'mezid. If he is mechalal b'mezid, then it means he's voluntarily taking them out of the status of hektish and making himself, but eventually he's going to have to pay hektish for that. Then he can be mechadish with those, because then by doing that, they become his momen. He's considered, in effect, like a gazlan who acquires the thing that he stole, and later on he's going to have to pay back for it. So that's how Rav learns Rav Meir's opinion. Which in that case then, so Tosfos says, okay, how does that explain Rav Yehuda's opinion then? Why would Rav Yehuda say that it's valid kedushin if it was b'shogeg? And what he's saying about the mezid. So the question is twofold. Why is Rabbi Huda saying b'shogeg kiddush, and why is Rabbi Meir saying b'mezid loy kiddush? Or there's actually an explanation from a Machna and from the Koshnitzer Magid that the question is on both of them b'shogeg. Why does Rabbi Huda hold b'shogeg it would be valid kiddushin, and even according to Rabbi Meir, we're saying only because nitnu lahanis behen. The question is, why do we need that reason? The fact is, they're clay sharis, and they're clay sharis, and just using them doesn't take them out of the reshus of hektish on the face of it. And so Tosfos explains that they were talking about kosnos that have not actually ever been used for the avodah yet. So they're not considered clay sharis until they're actually used. Once they are used and become clay sharis, yeah, then you have the din that just using them doesn't take them out of the reshus of hektish. But here we're talking about they weren't used yet, so therefore they're still considered kodshe betek abayis. So we need the reason that since nitnu lahonis behen, once they do start being used, then the kohenim are allowed to have anor from them b'shoigig, and therefore the mayor would say that b'shoigig they're not his to use. They're not his to use, therefore we can't be mekadesh with them. But mezid, on the other hand, they're his to use in the sense that not they're his to use, but in other words, that then he's like a gazlan and he is koina them like that with yush and shinu reshus and whatever. So that's Rav's understanding of Rav Meir's opinion. Toshma, the Gemara says, but let's bring a proof against Rav. A Braisa says, Kosnis Kohuna Shabalu, when the Kosnis Kohuna did wear out. So Rav was talking about where they didn't wear out. The Braisa is going to be talking about where they did. Right now, the Gemara is going to assume that for purposes of the question, that the Braisa doesn't dafka mean when they're worn out. It's just saying even when they're worn out, meaning even though they're not usable for Avodah anymore, nevertheless, the Braisa would say, Moilad Behem, Me'ila would still apply, Divrei Meir. So my love, afilu loy balu. Doesn't that mean, even if they didn't wear out, So in other words, the brayso would be saying whether they're worn out or whether they're not, whether they're still usable as big kahuna or not. Nevertheless, ne'ila applies to them if he uses them b'shoyding. Well, that would contradict what Rav just said, that if he does, that if he uses the kosnes kahuna b'shoyding, that they're not considered his, and the ne'ila doesn't apply to them. They don't leave the reshus of hektish, and the whole concept of ne'ila doesn't apply. We see from this brayso it does. And the answer is like, bolu davka. No, you can say the brayso means specifically when they wore out. Because now they can't be used for the avodah anymore. The big kahuna have to look fairly new. They can be a little bit, dingy. The Gemara in Zvachim calls that matushtoshin. But once they're worn out, they're not usable for big kahuna anymore. Instead, what they would do is they would use them for wicks in the Bais HaMikdash. So in particular, for Simchas Beis HaSheva, Hazman Grama now, the Mishnah mentions that they would use these kosnes, they would rip them into wicks and use them for the giant menorahs to light up for Simchas Beis HaSheva. Elsewhere, the Gemara explains that they would also use the michnasayim. When those wore out, the pants of the kohenim, then they would use those to make wicks for the menorah. Whatever the case, the point is, once they're worn out, they're not usable as big kahuna anymore, so now you don't have this nitnu lahana span anymore. Rav's whole point of why there would be a difference between b'shogeg and b'mezid is all based on the idea that the kohenim are allowed to have hanah from the big kahuna. Well, once they're worn out, they can't have that kind of hanah from them anymore, therefore we can talk about me'ilah applying to them at that point. So the b'raisa is not a contradiction to him, because the b'raisa is talking about davka when they're worn out.
And with them, and with that,
then ne'ilah applies, meaning in other words that if they use them that if he uses them b'shoigig, then they're going to be considered. Then they leave the reshus of hektish or no. When they're worn out, then it's like any other asset of hektish where he uses it b'shoigig and it leaves the reshus of hektish as a result of that, and now he becomes chayev in a korban in an asham ne'ilos and in keren mechomesh and all that. And therefore he'd be able to be mekadesh with it, because at that point it becomes his. There's a kosov in that case that by using that object, it now leaves hektish's reshus. We're going to talk about it on Omid Beis. Not everybody agrees with that, but right now this is what Rav is saying. And the Braisa is saying, as opposed to when the kosnes kahuna are still usable, then he's allowed to have hanah from them b'shoigig, so then his using them b'shoigig does not take them out of the reshus of hektish. Otherwise, in other words, every kosnes kahuna would leave the reshus of hektish every time a kohen wore it, because again, inevitably, he's wearing it for a little bit of time after he finishes the avodah. It's impossible for him to take it off within a split second after he finishes the avodah.
You have to be in cash, the one b'shoigig would do this.
No, b'shoigig meaning he didn't realize, he's not allowed to.
No,
he's not allowed to. He didn't realize that this is a kosnes kahuna, especially if you take what Tosfos is saying, that this is talking about a kosnes that wasn't even used yet. He may not realize that this is specifically one of hektish. He may think that this is a stam shirt off the rack or something. Okay, whatever. Fine. Okay, so the Gemara says Toshma. Let's try to bring another proof against Rav. Now, for this one, we're going to be talking about the dinim of the matzah shekel. So we need to elaborate on a little bit on how it works. Every year, Yid gives matzah shekel to the Beis HaMikdash, and that matzah shekel, much of it is used to buy the korbanos for the Beis HaMikdash and to buy the various other things that the Beis HaMikdash needs on an annual basis. It also, we learned in Ksubas, there are certain workers who do work for the Beis HaMikdash, teaching the Kohen and Hilchos Shechita, certain dayanim, and so on and so forth, who get paid out of that money. Eventually what happens is when they've used all the money they need for that year's operating expenses of the Beis HaMikdash, then they use it, as we're going to go on to say, then you have the money that's left over. It's called Shiorei HaLishka, and among other things, they use it for, as we're going to see, for repairing the walls and the other infrastructure of Yerushalayim. Now this is all what's called Tiklin Chadatin. Chadatin means new. Tikkun Chadatin is the Aramaic word for new shkolim, so it means the new shkolim, the ones that a person is bringing this year for this year's obligation, a matzah shekel, and he brings them during Adar time, and they collect them during Adar time, which is why we're laying Parshas Shkolim at the beginning or right before Adar, and so forth. And in that way, the Rosh Chodesh Nissan is the new fiscal year of the Beis HaMikdash, and they start using the new money. Chadatin is the Aramaic word for new, like Chadoshim in Hebrew. You often find that a shin in Lashon Kodesh corresponds to a tof in Aramaic, and this is an example of that. Now, you can also have, what if a person missed giving his matzah shekel last year? He doesn't get out of it. He has to pay it. But that goes into a fund called Tiklin Atikin, which means old shkolim. In Masechta Shkolim, it describes how they would have a circle of 13 pushkas in the Bais Mikdash, where people would put money for various purposes, and the first two are labeled Tiklin Chabatin and Tiklin Atikin. So a person who's bringing his matzah shekel this year, it would go in the Tiklin Chabatin box. If he's making up for a previous year that he missed, it would go in the Tiklin Atikin box. The Tiklin Atikin are not meant to be used for the Karbonis, because that has to all be from new money that's brought this, they're from new money that's given for this year's responsibility of matzah shekel. And after all, the Pasuk says, Ha'osher lo yagav, adal lo yamit. So you can't have some people are giving more matzah shekel than others. So instead, those also end up in Shiari HaLishka, and those are also used for fixing the walls and towers and whatnot of Yerushalayim.
The new money or the old money.
So the new, anything that's left of the new money after they bought all the korbanos for this year, as well as all of the tiklin atikin. Tosfos goes into some detail over here describing the exact seder. The Mishnayos in Shkolim describe the seder of how they would take the money out of the lishka during the year and use it to buy the korbanos. And you have different opinions in the Mishnayos over there what they would do with the leftover money after they from each of those distributions. And then eventually it goes as we're saying over here for Choyma Seirim Gzulayseh. The Tosfos also discusses the point that you also have now. You could conceivably have that they took. They took the three distributions of money from the Lishka. The third one was around Sukkot time, and it's meant to supply the Bais Mikdash with everything it needs until next year's Chodesh Nissan. It could happen. They run out of money, and then they go and they take more of the Shiari HaLishka. So the Shiari HaLishka are not really earmarked for the walls and so forth of Yerushalayim until the year is over, and at that point they're tickling, not ticking.
Only when it's extra.
Yeah, only when it's extra and it's not needed, right. So, a Braisa says, Molen b'chadkin ve'im molen b'atikin. The Me'ilah applies to the new Shkolim because those are used to buy the Korbanos, and therefore the Me'ilah applies to those just like it applies to the actual Korbanos. But Me'ilah would not apply to the Tiklin Atikin because those are never going to be used for the Korbanos. Those are going to be used for the walls and towers and other infrastructure of Yerushalayim. So Dibur of Yehuda. Now many of the Mephoshim take out the words Divrei Rav Yehuda. Rashi seems to have them, because Rashi says, the Kasavar of Yehuda, that Rav Yehuda holds such and such. On the other hand, Tosfos points out, the Gemara is soon going to try to say, that the second part of the Braisa, which quotes in the name of Rav Meir, is actually part of Rav Yehuda. If it said over here, Divrei Rav Yehuda, it would be very hard to do that. So therefore, therefore Tosfos takes out the words Divrei Rav Yehuda. According to that, it would be a Tanakama who disagrees with the mayor, and the Gemara is going to discuss soon that might be according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says that Me'ilah would apply to the Tiklin Atikin as well. In fact, the mayor says Me'ilah would also apply to the Shiori HaLishka. It would apply to the money that's left over in the Lishka after they use everything they need for the Korbanos and the rest of the operating expenses of the Bais Mikdash. We have to distinguish, by the way, we have to keep in mind that you have a number of different funds that are a number of different baskets of money, so to speak, that are used by the Bais Mikdash. You have the ones that are used to buy the korbanos and pay the salaries of those guys on an ongoing basis. Then you have Bedek HaBayis, which is a whole nother source of funds, which is where they need to do repairs to the infrastructure of the Bais Mikdash itself. And then we have the repairs to the infrastructure of Yerushalayim. So the mayor is saying that Me'ilah would apply to the Shiori HaLishka. And now we have to ask, according to Rav's logic, Rav Mai, why should Me'ilah apply to those Shiori HaLishka, according to the mayor? Neima, shouldn't we say, Hov v'nitna l'honis? After all, you are able to have Hana from what's bought with that money, because for the same reason we said, l'fisha l'nitna Torah l'malachi asharis, because the Torah is not given to malachi asharis, given that some of that money is going to be used, for example, to repair the walls of Yerushalayim, it's impossible throughout the year a person is not going to accidentally have Hana from the wall. He's going to sit in its shade, he's going to walk on or sit on top of it or whatever. So obviously So what's the point? In other words, that you're allowed to have hanah from the walls of your shalayim, yet they retain their kedusha. The wall of the city, the repairs and then building of the wall of Yerushalayim and of its towers come from the Shiori Alishka, which includes the Tiklin Atikin, the Tnan, as we learn in a Mishnah in Shkodim. The wall of the city, the tower of Yerushalayim, the towers, and everything else, the water, everything else the city needs, for example, the aqueducts to bring it water and other such things. All of that comes from Shiori Alishka. So you see, in other words, that even though you're able to use them, so even though you're allowed to have Hanah from that wall, it's still considered to have Kedusha. So why don't we say the same thing when it comes to the Kosnes Koyanim? Say that even though you're allowed to have Hanah from them, nevertheless, in other words, let's put it this way. We're saying that with the walls of Yerushalayim, the whole concept of Ne'ilah doesn't apply to them. So then, according to the mayor, why would Ne'ilah apply to the money from which they're purchased? So we see, in other words, that just because something is allowed for Hanah doesn't have anything to do with the money that it's bought from. Whereas Rav is saying that Rav Meir is saying in general, Hekdesh is not Mischal B'Shogeg, and there's a difference with Kosnes Kohuna because Nitnu L'Honis Behen. Well, we see over here in this matter of the walls that Nitnu L'Honis Behen doesn't change anything as far as not being allowed to use the money that they come from. And Ne'ilah would apply to them. So the answer is, Lo Temer Rav Meir, Ela Emer Rav Yehuda. The answer is, don't say that part is Divir of Meir, rather say Divir of Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda is the one who, so Rabbi Yehuda would be the one who says Moilin Ach Ba'atikin, when we said Ein Moilin Ba'atikin, we thought that was according to the Meir. Now we're saying that no, it's not Reb Meir is saying Merlin Afbar Tikkin, it's Reb Yehuda is saying Merlin Afbar Tikkin. Well, in that case, Reb Yehuda is the one who holds Me'ilah would apply to it. Reb Meir does not, so therefore it fits still with what Rav was explaining within Reb Meir's opinion.
Now the words where it says.
So now when it says, well, that's why we take out the words Divrei of Yehuda. Because Tosfos says otherwise what the Gemara should have said is Epoch. You have to flip around the opinions, attribute Reb Meir's opinion to Reb Yehuda and Reb Yehuda's to Reb Meir's. So now instead, we're saying that no, the opinion in the Braisa that it says first you have an opinion in the Braisa that's not attributed to anybody, which is just the Chachamim in general, the Tanakama in general, whatever you want to call him, and then you have the opinion which the Braisa says is Divrei Reb Meir or Reb Meir Oimer should really be Reb Yehuda. So in that case, then there's no contradiction on what Rav says. Actually, a couple of Rishonim learn. And the Ramban, the Ritva, talks about, listen, Me'ilah doesn't apply to something that's attached to the ground. The Gemara talks about that in the Sefer Me'ilah and in other places. So then, what are you even talking about Me'ilah as far as the wall of the city that we have to say, Nitnu Lahonis, because Mun'itanah Malacha showed us the wall is attached to the ground? So they explain, the question is basically, given that the money is being used to build the city walls and Me'ilah doesn't apply to them, how could it be that Ne'ilah, according to the Tana of this Braisa, is going to apply to the money? How do you have that? Ne'ilah should apply to the money, but not to the object that was bought with it. And the answer is that, in fact, the mayor would hold that Ne'ilah does not apply to the money either. It's Rabbi Yehuda who holds that Ne'ilah applies to the money, and therefore, so what would we say if we went to him? Fine, we're not dealing with that right now. We're trying to infer so that this Braisa is not a question on Rav.
Because I think you buy that even to fix the wall, the metal from that are...
Yeah, I mean, you could say, because Reb Meir doesn't hold this concept. I mean, he holds, obviously, that you're allowed to have enough from them to show you, because when in the Torah, Malach HaSharis, but he might say that still doesn't take away the fact that they still have Kedusha, and you're not allowed to deliberately go and use them. In fact, the Gemara in Pesachim has a whole discussion about this kind of thing. Where you have loy efshe v'kamachav, and it's impossible to avoid having this hanah, but you have hanah, you have in mind to benefit from it, or the other way around, efshe v'loy kamachav, where it is possible to avoid it, but you're not meaning to have that hanah, and other issues like that, the Gemara discusses about having hana from an intangible thing. For example, it discusses over there about having hana from the shade of the heichel. It mentions over there Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, when he would give shiurim, he had such large crowds, they would have to sit in the shade of the heichel because the crowd was too big to fit inside any auditorium in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara discusses this whole point over there about the use of the shade of the walls. So that also bears on this whole question over here. Actually, there, by the way, the Gemara ends up answering the heichel is not basically meant to, the heichel is not really there to provide shade in the first place. The purpose of the heichel is the inside of it, to do the avodas that are done inside of it. Therefore, the shade is not really considered to have any kedusha in the first place, as opposed to the walls are meant, among other things, to provide shade. So therefore, you can talk about whether you should be having hanah from that shade or not. Okay.
Not taken away from the wall by having the shade blocked.
No, but the point is that the wall is there among other things. The wall is not just there to enclose the city; it's also there to provide shade. As opposed to the heichal, is not really there in not having to do with shade in the first place. Okay. So again, there's no question from this braisa on Rav. Okay, the Gemara says Toshma. Let's bring another proof against Rav. The Tanya we learn in a braisa. Omer Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak. Avnei Yerushalayim shenoshu, still talking about the walls of Yerushalayim. If stones fell off the wall, Molan Behan, then Me'ilah would apply to those stones. Give it a mayor, and that's according to the mayor. So the question would be, in other words, so Rav should say that once they originally came from Mois Shiori Halishka, and the bottle now, as far as that, again, you're allowed to have hanah from the walls by using their shade. So now Me'ilah shouldn't apply to them at all. Then why would the mayor say that now if you use those stones, then you've committed Me'ilah? And in fact, the Shittah or Noidalami and the Atmos Yosef point out, you know, there's a big difference between them before we mentioned the Kosnes Kohuna Shabalu, the clothes of the Kohenim that wore out. Where once they wore out, you can never restore them to the condition where they were wearable again. Therefore, we can say Me'ilah applies to those because you don't have the heter of the Torah of Malach Asharis anymore. Stones you could put back in the wall, yeah. So it's one thing they say. If, in fact, the stones were to be shattered, then maybe, in fact, then yes, the Gemara would have no problem with the idea that Me'ilah should apply to them. But why is Reb Meir saying when the stones are still intact and could easily be put back in the wall, why should Me'ilah apply to them? And again, the answer is, Lo'temer of Meir, Ela'emer of Yehuda. So you're going to have to say, again, that it's not a coin to Reb Meir, you would have to say it's a coin to Reb Yehuda. The reason why, by the way, Marsha talks about, a little further in the Sugya, why does the Gemara keep assuming that we have to take Reb Meir's opinion and attribute it to Reb Yehuda? Why don't we just say that there are two Tanoim who argue within what Reb Meir says? As we're going to have soon. In fact, the Gemara is going to end up saying that there are two Tanoim arguing within what Rabbi Yehuda says. And the answer is because we find elsewhere that there are in fact different Tanoim disagreeing in what Rabbi Yehuda says. Regarding Me'ilah, we find no such thing as far as Rabbi Meir, so therefore the Gemara doesn't want to have to invent a Machloikas Tanoim within what Rabbi Meir says when we have no evidence that there's such a thing. So the Gemara says, E Rav Yehuda. So if you're going to say that we have to be Gurus Rav Yehuda over here, and Rav Yehuda would be the one who says that these stones that fall out of the wall, Me'ilah would apply to them, in that case, then we have a contradiction with something else that Rav Yehuda said. Because according to him, Yerushalayim Mimekadsha, are the walls of Yerushalayim even considered Kodesh, that Me'ilah should even be relevant to them? V'hatnan, we learned in a Mishnah in Nedarim, we learned it about a year ago. Now we learned there that the way that a person makes a neder, he's matpis the neder in a dover hanodur. So he doesn't just say, for example, this bread is osur to me. He says this bread is osur to me like something else, which is capable of getting kedusha through a neder. For example, the classic example would be he says this bread should be to me like a korban. A korban is something that you can do. The neder and a dava, so and it gets its kedusha that way. So now he's matfis. Now he associates that bread with the korban. So the Mishnah describes over there various expressions that he might use, whether they constitute whether that constitutes matfis the dava hanodur. Now, for example, we learned over there that if he were to say, let's say, this bread should be to me like chazir flesh, then that wouldn't work. It can't be matfis that the neder and a dava. Similarly, if he says about certain korbanos, we're also, you can't be machfis, let's say a bechor, because we had a whole discussion over there actually about a bechor, because a bechor, you don't give it its kedusha, it's boom. Anyway, so we're Knan, we learn in a Mishnah in Nedarim. Suppose the person says, I'm making this food ki'imra, like the lamb, and that would mean the lamb that's used for the korban tamid, and there's various other explanations, the mafarish over there that's printed under Rashi's name, and Tosfos, and different other Rishonim talk about various possibilities of what it could be. So here Rashi says it means the lamb of the korban tamid. Tosfos over there brings two other possibilities. It could mean the baby that's born from a chatas animal. So you designated the mother as a chatas, and now she gave birth to a baby, and that has a degree of kedusha. It's one of the classic chatois hamesis. Another possibility, Tosfos says, it could be referring not to a baby sheep, but rather to the ram that Avraham brought as a korban instead of Yitzchak. Anyway, whatever, that's considered davar hanodur. Kedirim, or if the person says the neder is that he's making the food to be kedirim, like the pens, which would be, Rashi says it means two kinds of pen. The pen where they keep animals for korbanos, and also the pen, the storehouse where they keep wood for the mizbeach. Both of those are davar hanodur, because you can donate an animal as a korban, and you can donate wood to the Beis Hamikdash. In fact, Tosfos says right there, that's why the plural kadirim, because you're talking about two different kinds of dim. Anyway, ke'etzim, if he says that his neder should be, the food should be like the wood, meaning the wood that they bring on the mizbeach, ke'ishim, or like the fires of the mizbeach, well, there's two different explanations. One is it can mean the fire, or it can mean the fire, it can also mean the korbanos that are brought in the fire, all over the Torah. They're described as ishe reach nechayach la'ashem, so therefore the ke'ishim would mean the same thing. Anyway, ke'hechol, if he says that this food should be like the hechol, kamizbeach, or like the mizbeach, which are both built out of funds that are donated by the Jewish people and end up in Moser, Trumas Alishko, Shiore Alishko, oh no, actually they end up in Kodshe Bedeka Bayis, actually, but whatever, that's one of those piles of money that we were talking about before, but people donate to Bedeka Bayis, and to Yerushalayim, and if he says that he wants this food to be like Yerushalayim, so all of those are a valid neder, and now the food becomes usur to him. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a kol I'm a Yerushalayim, I'm a klum. Rabbi Yehuda says no, that if he says Yerushalayim, then it's not a valid neder, because then the Yerushalmi brings on that, because then he only means the wood and stones of Yerushalayim. He doesn't mean any of the kedusha of Yerushalayim. Well, So now, if you're going to tell me that the Yehuda is the one who holds that Me'ilah would apply to the walls of Yerushalayim, well, then why is he saying in this Mishnah, in Nedarim, that there's no Kedusha in Yerushalayim, it's not considered a Davar HaNadur, and therefore he can't be matfis with that?
One thing we just know is that if you eat a carbon, it has to be done in the wall of Yerushalayim. So
that's true, but that's
some type of...
There is a type of Kedusha, but it's not necessarily a Davar HaNadur. That's the key thing, is whether it's a Davar HaNadur, which is also relevant to the question of Me'ilah. V'chi teima b'shum d'loy am a ki Yerushalayim. Now you can answer, maybe the difference is, because the Mishnah is saying that Rabbi Yehuda says, if he says Yerushalayim, loy am a klum. So maybe you'd say there's a difference whether he says Yerushalayim or ki Yerushalayim. Ki Yerushalayim would mean I want this food to be like Yerushalayim, and you could argue that's not fis v'davar hanodur. Maybe if he says Yerushalayim, that would amount to, I'm swearing by Yerushalayim that this food should be also, and that's meaningless. Yerushalayim is not something that you swear by Hashem's name, or by something else, the chetz of Kedusha, not by the city of Yerushalayim. So you're going to say maybe that's what it means. No, v'hatani, we learn in a braisa. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a kola, I'm a ki Yerushalayim, lo yamaklum. If he says like Yerushalayim, he didn't say anything, ad sheyidur b'davar ha'torev b'Yerushalayim. Only if he's matfis with something that is offered in Yerushalayim. So one of the korbanos, the wood, etc., but not Yerushalayim itself. So we see, therefore, Rabbi Yehuda holds Yerushalayim is not considered a davar hanodur. Therefore, Me'ilah shouldn't apply to it b'chlal. What are you telling me in the previous braisa that we have to switch and say that what it's not Rabbi Meir says that Moilin, that Me'ilah applies to the stones that fell out of the wall. Rather it's Rabbi Yehuda who says that. How could you say that? Marshall also brings up the point, by the way, that the Gemara is not saying that maybe there'd be a difference between the Shogeg and the Mezid. After all, we said according to the mayor, there's a difference between whether he uses the Hektish, the Shogeg, or the Mezid for Kedushin. So why not the Gemara just make that distinction? And the reason is because the reason is because the whole concept of so he says the Lashon Moyalin generally means the Shoyvin. In fact, the Pnei Yeshua says, what is the Mar Shoyvin wondering about? Whenever throughout Mishnayos we talk about Me'ila, Moylan Behen, we always mean what happens if he does it the Shoyvin. We have to pay Keren Rechoymesh and bring an Osham. Me'ila B'mezid is a whole other animal. We don't talk about that B'chlal very much. So when it says Moylan, by default, we're going to assume it means B'shoyvin. Anyway, the point is that we find, Rabbi Yehuda is saying in the Mishnah in Nedarim, or in the Braisa, explaining the Mishnah in Nedarim, that Yerushalayim is not considered a Dover HaNadur. Here, on the other hand, we're trying to say that Rabbi Yehuda is the one who, in order to fa'en for Rab, that would say that Rabbi Yehuda is saying there is Kedusha in the walls of Yerushalayim. Fine, as long as the walls are standing, then Me'ila doesn't apply to them, we could say, because Lo Nit Natur L'Malach HaShoris, like Rab said, but if a stone falls out of them, then Me'ila doesn't apply to it. Why? And the answer is The answer is there are two Tanoim arguing within what Rabbi Yehuda says whether Me'ila is going to apply. So one Tana would explain Rabbi Yehuda to be saying that if a person were to take a stone from the city and use it for his own purposes, let's say to build it in his house, he would commit Me'ila. The other one says no, and therefore says Yerushalayim is not a Dover HaNadur, and you can't be matfis with that. The question boils down to basically where taka is the money for building the walls of Yerushalayim coming from? Is it coming from Shiori Halishka, from what's left over of the Matzah Shekel on the Tiklan Atikin and so forth, or not? Rabbi Yehuda doesn't necessarily have to agree that it comes from that source of funds. He could say it comes from someplace else, and therefore that there may not necessarily be any kedusha in it. Right. Tosfos further discusses this, and you have a Gemara in Ksubas that we also learned about a year ago that talks about that the repairs of the wall come from Shiori Alishka, like we said before, and then we have a different place where it says that they come from that they come from other sources of funds. So basically that would reflect the two opinions that we're saying over here within Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. And the fact that, again, what makes the Gemara think that there were two Tanoim within Rabbi Yehuda's opinion rather than within Rameo's is precisely that point that we see the Mishnah over there uses the expression Yerushalayim is not a valid nether, whereas the Braisa says Ki Yerushalayim is not a valid nether, implying that they're arguing whether Yerushalayim itself is a Dover HaNadur. Now, so we've entered Rav's explanation. So now, so far, we have two explanations of Rav Meir's opinion in the Mishnah. We have Rav Yochanan's explanation that we had on Nun Gimel on the days that it's all based on the idea of Kiddushei Tos, that one or both of them wouldn't have gone through with this Kiddushin if they knew that it was Hekdesh. And we had Rav Yaakov and Rav Yirmiya arguing whether it's one of them or both of them. And then we have Rav saying that in general, Rav Meir would say that it doesn't matter, but sure you go amazing. Either way, it's mischalal, and therefore it can be used for kedushin, specifically when it comes to things that you are allowed to have hanah from them while they're hektish, such as kosnis kahuna, then you have the difference, where the mayor would say, sure you go amazing. Now we're going to have a third explanation. According to Rav's understanding of the mayor, with most things of hektish, whether he uses them, sure you go amazing, either way, they become his. It's considered as though he took it from Hektish. It was Mischalo. It now leaves the Rishus of Hektish. He's just responsible to pay Hektish for it, and therefore he can use it for Kedushin. Only by these Kosnis Kahuna and other similar things, we're saying maybe by the walls of Yerushalayim or whatever, where you're allowed to have Hanah from them even while they're in use for their actual purpose. So there, then we would say that if he uses them B'shoigig, then they haven't left the Rishos of Hekdesh, because in general he's allowed to use them B'shoigig without them leaving the Rishos of Hekdesh, therefore Kiddushin with them is not going to be effective.
Because
it still belongs to Hekdesh. Yeah. Okay, so now we're going to have a third understanding of the Meir. Or not really, so Rashi explains, this isn't really going to be a third opinion, this is going to be rather bringing another opinion that agrees with Rabbi Yochanan and explains what Rabbi Yochanan was saying about Kiddushei Tos and explains it in a different vein. There are Mephoshim who explain that the next explanation we're going to have over here of Ullah disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan on certain specifics, But basically, he does. So they would agree. There's a matter of toast over here, but they would argue it's on different grounds. They would agree with Rabbi Yochanan that the din of Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah applies to everything of Hekdesh, not just like Rav says that it applies only to the Kosnes Koinim, but he'd be arguing with Rabbi Yochanan on the reason behind it, not necessarily Kedusha Toast, but rather a different consideration. So there are two different ways of understanding the following explanation. So Amar Ula Mishmei de Bar Pada. So he's saying in the name of Bar Pada, who was Bar Pada is one of the late Tanoim / early Amoraim. He's from that transitional generation between the Tanoim and Amoraim. He's mostly mentioned in the Gemara. His opinions are mostly mentioned in issues involving Kodshim. He appears a lot in Seder Kodshim and in other parts of Shas that deal with matters of Kodshim, very little anywhere else. Anyway. So Omer Hoyer, he explains, Omer Hoyer Rav Meir. Rav Meir would say like this: the difference is Hektish b'meiz and Mischalo, b'shogig and Mischalo. And the difference is that Hektish becomes Mechulo, it becomes de-sanctified only when he used it b'shogig, only when he used it b'meiz, but not b'shogig. So that would cause the problem. So similar. So again, one way of understanding him is to say then that specifically we're talking about by Kiddushin. Because again, we said nobody wants that they should be doing an Aveira, that the Kedushin should happen through an Aveira, and therefore we would call it Kedushitos. Or he might be saying more generally, not just in the matter of Kedushin, but in general, Rav Meir would say there's a difference between Shoyig and Mezid as far as it becoming Mecholol. V'loy Amru, Shoyig Meschalol Ella in Korban Govat. So Bar Pada says, when the Torah says that the person has to, that it applies only b'shogig, and again, like we said before, throughout Shas, whenever we use the word moilin, is referring to b'shogig, that would mean only regarding the korban. So if he did it b'shogig, then he brings the korban, and if he did it b'mezid, he doesn't. But the concept that the money, or whatever object it is, that it leaves the Rishus of Hekdesh, that would apply, either way, it doesn't leave the Rishus of Hekdesh, it actually remains the property of Hekdesh. So, therefore he can't be Makadish with it, it's not his. Well, then why is he chayav the Korban in the first place, if what he did is not even effective? If he didn't leave the Rishus of Hekdesh, if it's still considered. If the point is, in other words, if what he did was ineffective. Now, the Rashash points out over here, in the Sefer Tzmura, in Seder Kodshim, there's a Machlokas Habaya and Rava on the question, when the Torah tells you not to do something, and you went and did it anyway, do your actions have any effect in Halacha? The original thing they're talking about over there, for example, the Torah tells us you're not allowed to do a tmura. If a person did, to what extent the Torah says it has an effect, can we generalize from that in other areas of the Torah?
That to show that yes.
In that case, yes, but not necessarily does that apply to Kol HaTorah Kula. The Gemara has a whole sugya on it that extends over several blocks. So the Rashash points out that this question over here in the Gemara would really only be a point to Abaya, who says that what he does is effective. That's why he can be punishable, not just by Me'ila, not just by Tzmura, but by other areas in Halacha. Rava who uses the expression over there, Kol Ma'id Ovid Dom Rachmanu Loi Savid. Rava says anything the Torah says, don't do. He Ovid Loi Mahani. If he's over on it and he does it, it's not effective. So the question wouldn't really be a coin. The question wouldn't really be a coin to Rava. Rava would say it doesn't matter whether what you did was effective or not. The Torah is punishing the person for trying to do it in the first place. But according to Abaya, who says the only reason the Torah can punish him or penalize him, whatever, is because what he did actually has an effect. Well, then the question over here is if it didn't have an effect, and Bar Pada is saying it doesn't, because the effect is only that he has to bring the korban, but the object itself still belongs to Hekdesh, well, then what's the logic that he should have to bring the korban at all? So rather we have to fix up what Ula said. He also when Robin came from Eretz Yisrael, Porish, he explained the Shmei de Bar Pada. He explained further what Bar Pada is saying. He says, Oima Hoyer of Meir, Hektish Remezid Meschalo B'Shogig Ein Meschalo. Yes, Hektish will become Mecholo only if he used it B'Shogig, only if he used it Remezid, not B'Shogig. V'loi Omo B'Shogig Meschalo Ela In Achila Govat. When do we talk about the idea that if he used it B'Shogig, it becomes Cholin, and that now he's a and now it becomes his, and now he's chayav the Torah and the Chaimish and the Korban elav in achila govan, only if he ate it or otherwise consumed it. Rashi and Tosfos both point out it doesn't have to that mean he ate it. For example, it could be he uses oil of hekdesh and burns it. That would also be considered meila because he's destroying it.
Well, do that if that's considered destroying and meal, then in the kasha why
should. So Tosfos actually says that you could now. What about we talked about on Amud Aleph? About Me'ila applies to Tiklin Chavatin, meaning that you're using them, let's say, to buy something or whatever. You haven't destroyed them, so why would Me'ila apply according to that logic? So Tosfos says because when you're having, you could have a case where you're having Hana from the actual coins themselves. For example, you're using them as a counterweight on a balance scale. So in other words, what Bapada is saying is if you just spend the coins, and it was Beshogig, then they wouldn't be Mishalo, the coins still belong to Hekdesh. In fact, in that case, he wouldn't necessarily be bringing the korban at all. But if he used it in a way that uses them up, whether eating or burning them or whatever, or as Tosfos is saying, if he used the actual goof of them themselves, then indeed Bapada would agree that Me'ila does apply to them, even that Me'ila does apply to them.
The example with the scale would
be considered the kind of hana that would make him chayiv in a korban, and that's why we said on Amud Aleph Moilim B'Tiklin Chavatin. We don't mean, in other words, a person takes some of those coins and spends them on buying something, but rather they use them to actually weigh something. Okay. So again, according to Rashi, Bapada and Ula and Rovin, who are quoting them, are not disagreeing with Rabbi Yochanan. They're explaining what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. Given that the hekdesh is mischalal, only b'mezid, not b'shoigig, so therefore, if they're doing the kedushin b'shoigig, we can assume that they don't want to do an aveira, they don't want to have an aveira done through them, that kedushin should be done in a way of aveira. As opposed to, there are other Mephoshim who learn not like that and say Ula and then Bapada, and the rest of them are actually disagreeing with Rabbi Yochanan on the underlying, they're agreeing with him that it applies to other things, not just the Kosnes Koinim, like Rav says, but they disagree on the reason behind it. Rabbi Yochanan was saying, because of Kedushay Tos, they were saying because B'chal, the mechanism of Me'ila is different for Shogig and Mamezin. Okay. So the Gemara says, Omer of Nachman Bar. So now we have to start discussing between the two Tanoim in our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Once we've established that there is this machloikus between them, and the various reasons behind that machloikus, now we have to establish who the halacha is like between them. So the Gemara says. Amr of Nachman, Amr Rab Adaba Abba, Halacha ki Rab Meir, b'maiser, the Halacha is like Rab Meir in the matter of Maiser, in the matter of Maiser Sheni, that if he's Makad, now again, we had two Machlokas in Rab Meir and Rab Huda in our Mishnah, one about Maiser Sheni and one about Hekdesh. So Rab Meir had said, as far as Maiser Sheni, doesn't matter, B'shogig or B'mezid, either way, it's not a valid Kedushin. Rab Yehuda had said it depends whether Shogig or B'mezid. Then we had, as far as Hekdesh, where Rabbi Meir said, B'shoigig, it's not good kedushin, and B'mezid it is, and Rabbi Yehuda had said the other way around. So Rabbi Nachman now tells us, Halacha could Rabbi Meir be Meiser, when it comes to being Mekadesh with Meiser, the Halacha will be like Rabbi Meir. Hoyo v'sosim montana kavasei, because we find a Stam Mishnah like him elsewhere. And we know, usually the Halacha is like a Stam Mishnah. And Bahalocha could have Yehuda Behekdesh, Hoyo Vasasim, Montana Kavase. On the other hand, when it comes to the matter of Hekdesh, we find a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore that implies the Halacha is like him. In other words, the general rule is that when Rebbe put together the Mishnayos, usually he makes a Stam Mishnah to be the opinion of the majority of the Chachamim. And that's why he writes it as a Stam Mishnah, where we usually say Stam Mishnah to Meir. But the point is, that would be the language of it as according to the Meir. The opinion in it may or may not be according to the Meir. So, but when it's given as a Stam Mishnah, we're usually meant to understand that the Halacha is like it, and therefore, if Rebbe chose to put the opinion of Rabbi Meir elsewhere as a Stam Mishnah in one thing, and the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda elsewhere as a Stam Mishnah in another matter, that implies the Halacha is like them respectively in these two cases. Yeah. So, could Rabbi Meir be Meiser Sheni, be Meiser Mayhi? where do we see the opinion of a mayor as far as Meiser? Where, let's remember that what Remeir's opinion by Meiser is based on the concept that Meiser Sheni Momen Gavoya, that it's considered to be the property of Hashem. It's not really your property, therefore you don't have the ability to be Mekadosh with it. We talked about yesterday, we learned in the Gemara, that we learn it from certain psukim, right? Because by Meiser it says Kodesh Lashem Hu, and therefore we learn from that that it's exclusively for you to eat in your Shalayim, or trade for money that you're going to bring to your Shalayim, etc., and not to be Mekadosh with. Meiser Sheni is the one that you take it to your Shalayim and you eat it there, or you exchange it for money and bring the money to your Shalayim and buy food.
And the one for Levi's.
The one for the Levi is Meiser Rishon. Meiser Rishon has no intrinsic kedusha of its own. The Levi has to give Trumas Meiser from it to the Kohen, but once he does, and then Trumas Meiser is reserved only for the Kohen, and he can only eat it Batara, etc., but once he takes that out, the rest of the Meiser Rishon is complete chulin, and he can do with it whatever he wants. What?
He can give it to
Israel, he can give it to his animals, yeah, whatever. Let's see.
Oh, wow.
Okay, yeah. So like this, we have a Mishnah, the Tanan, Kerem Revai, a vineyard in its fourth year. Now we know the Torah tells us that a tree or a vine, during its first 3 years, the fruit is Orla. After that, the fourth year is called Revai. And it has dinim similar to Meiser Sheni, that you have to take it to your Shalayim or exchange it for money, etc. The Gemara in Brachas, by the way, brings a machlokas whether b'chlal does this whole concept of revai apply only to grapevines, or does it apply to any fruits, two different girsois, kerem revai or netzer revai. Here we're talking about a kerem revai anyway. Beis Shammai says it's true, it's like Meiser Sheni, however not completely. It doesn't have the din of choymish, namely that if the person, when the person is exchanging the Meiser Sheni for money, if it's his own, he has to add a choymish. We learned about that earlier in our Masechta, that if it's your own Meiser Sheni, you have to add a choymish. We talked about if a wife is being poured to her husband's Meiser Sheni, we talked about a son being poured to his father's, or a shliach being poured to whatever, but the Beis Shammai says, with Revai, it's not like that. You don't have din of choymish in the first place. The ain like beer, and the concept of beer doesn't apply to it, meaning beer maestris. We know the Torah tells us in Parashas Kisavai that at the end, that after the third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, you have to make sure you've given all the trumas and maestris and bikurim and so on and so forth to the respective parties where they're supposed to go. And then you say the declaration of the Be'auti HaKodesh Min HaBayis. But as Shammai says, Netzer Revai or Kerem Revai is not included in that. Or Vesilil, I mean Yeshloi, Vesilil holds both of those things do apply to it. Then the Mishnah continues, Veshamah Omin Yeshloi Peret Yeshloi Oilolus. Now on the other hand, Veshamah says that a vineyard of Kerem Revai, the dinam of Peret and Oilolus apply to it. Peret,
fall down, right?
So wait, peret means individual grapes that fall down. So the same way as by grain you have leket, where you drop one or two stalks of grain. Say, actually, the Shammai themselves holds three also, but whatever. The same way by grapes, if one or two, or according to the Shammai, three individual grapes fall down from a cluster, you have to leave them for the poor people. And olalus, which is undeveloped clusters of grapes, where you have a normal cluster has a certain shape to it, which the Shammai calls kesef and netef. You have like near the top of it, you have grapes that are attached to little stemlets that come off the main stem, and then they hang down over there, and you have like ones that are one thickly on top of the other. That's called kesef and netef. Oilolus are not like that. You have like little individual stemlets here and there that come out of the branch with grapes and an individual grape attached here. That I'm explaining. It's called oilolus because the word oilol means a baby. So it's almost like a baby cluster. Anyway, the Torah tells us, by grapes specifically, you have the din, you have to leave those for the poor people.
The word kesef, that's in chumash, right?
No, well, the word kesef, you have in chumash, it means not shoulder. But, I mean, not kesef as in money, kesef kof saf fei. It means a shoulder. So it means that the good... These details are in the Yerushalmi on whichever Masech that discusses these din, in Meiser Sheni, I think. Anyway, anyway, where the pay is, where these dinim are discussed. Anyway, so, whatever. The point is that the Shammai is saying that even though the food is revai and it has to be taken to your shalayim, etc., but they say the usual rules of peret and olos, you apply to it, the owner of the vineyard has to leave those for the poor people. Or Basilalamin, kulel agas, Basilal says that no, all of the grapes in the vineyard, you can take them all to be pressed into wine, you don't have to leave the peret and the olos for the poor people. Now, let's figure out, why does Beis Hillel say that? My time under Beis Hillel, why does Beis Hillel say that you have to do, so why do they say that you need chumash and beer? And why do they say you need to give the chumash when you're redeeming it, like Maisa Sheni? And why does beer Maisus include it? And the reason is, Gamri Kodesh, Kodesh, and Maisa Sheni. They make Xeris Shoba on the word Kodesh from Maisa Sheni. By Maisa Sheni, it says Kodesh Lashem. By Kerem Revai, it says Yir Kopir Kodesh Yilulam Mashem. So therefore, we learn Xeris Shoba. Ma Maisa Yeshloi. Just like by Maisa Sheni, Choymesh explicitly applies, the Torah says so explicitly, and Biur explicitly applies, again, because the Torah says so, after Akkerim Revai, Yeshloi Choymesh, Yeshloi Biur. So therefore, they say that the same concept applies to Kerem Revai. Obis Shammai, Logami, Kodesh Kodesh, Maisa, Obis Shammai doesn't learn that Zeta Shabba. We know throughout Shas, a Talmud would learn, he can't make up a Xeder Shavah of his own, he has to learn the Xeder Shavah, the Kabbalah from his Rebbeim. Beis Shammai had not learned this Xeder Shavah of Kodesh Kodesh from their Rebbeim.
They had two different Rebbeim, Beis Shammai and
Rebbeim? Yeah, that's how they came to be two different yeshivas. To begin with, they learned by different Rebbeim, and yeah.
They
were in the same time, but still, they had learned by their, each, nevertheless, each group had learned, yeah. Tosfos points out that the Gemara in Brachos over there, when it discusses this whole matter of Kerem Revai and Neter Revai, makes a different point over there, which is, because it says Hilulim, because it's Kodesh Hilulim, we learn from that, the word Hilulim is similar to the word Hilulim, which means you have to, it means Mahal, it means you have to praise Hashem for it, but it also means Hilulim, it means that you have to first be Mahalal it, and only then can you eat it. So why do we need that if we have this Zer Shabbat already? And so Tosfos' answer is because without that, first of all, you would think, you know what? Look, Maisa Sheni only applies in 4 out of every 7 years. Maybe Kerem Revai only applies in 4 out of every 7 years. It doesn't apply in the 3rd and 6th year because you have Maisa Oni instead, and it doesn't apply in Shemitah because you don't have any Maisas. So maybe Kerem Revai doesn't apply during those years as well. Therefore, you need the word Hilulim to tell us otherwise. And also, Tosfos says otherwise we would think to learn from Shemitah, where Shemitah food has other dinim. It's Toifas Domov. Even if you trade Shemitah fruit for something else, the original fruit always retains its Kedusha. So therefore, you wouldn't know, and therefore you need both the Xeder Shava and the word Hibulim. Anyway, the point is that, so Obisil Omen Kemaiser. Now, if Basil is saying that, what is Basil saying? Again, that therefore you don't need to give Peret and Olus from it. Instead, it all goes, you can press it all into wine and bring the wine to your Shalayim. So if they're saying Neter Revai is in all respects like Maiser, Keman Svirlahu, well, which of the two opinions, as far as who Maiser Sheni belongs to, would they be holding like? E to Rabbi Yehuda, if they hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that Maisa Sheni is not Momen Gavoya, well then, Amai Kula Lagas. Why would they say it can all go to the wine press? You don't have to leave Peret and Olus for the poor people. Ha'oma Maisa Momen Hedyatu. He's saying by implication in our Mishnah and in other places in Shas that Maisa Sheni is Momen Hedyat. Well, therefore, Kerem Revai would also be Momen Hedyat. Therefore, you should have to leave Peret and Olus from it like any other vineyard or yours. Because it was again, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is learning the Zeta Shava from one to the other. Ella Lav Kira Meir. Evidently, Beis Hillel must be holding like the mayor. Maisa Sheni is Momen Gavaya. Well, therefore, so is Kerem Revai by the Zeta Shava. So we see that we have a Stam Mishnah over there, and saying that it's like Beis Hillel is considered like a Stam Mishnah because almost never is the halacha like Beis Shammai. So it's considered that you have a Stam Mishnah like Reb Meir. So therefore, that shows, applying that to our Mishnah, when Reb Meir is saying, therefore, a person is Makadish with Maisa Sheni, he has no ability to, because it doesn't belong to him, well, we see in that Mishnah that the Mishnah is making the same point. Maisa Sheni doesn't belong to you, therefore you don't have to leave Peret and Olus from it. Peret and Olus are only a vineyard that belongs to you. This Kerem Revai, the fruit of it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to Hashem.
Therefore,
you don't have to leave Peret and Olus, but therefore you also can't use it for Kedushin.
But then could you press it together with the rest of
it? So that's the thing. You press it to make wine, and then you bring that wine to your Shalayim. Normally, by the way, you can't do that with other fruits. You can't, for example, if you have apples, according to the opinion that Kerem Revai applies to other kinds of fruits. So let's say if you have apples of Netzer of Ai, you wouldn't be allowed to press those and make apple juice and bring that to your Shalayim. But the grapes and olives are an exception because they, in general, the liquids made from those are considered even more important than the fruit themselves. So there we see that we have a Stam Mishnah, like the mayor as far as Maisa Sheni, that we established there that it has to be that, so this hill evidently holds that Maisa Sheni is Mom and Gavoya, that agrees with the mayor's opinion.
You heard the mayor.
That Beis Hillel holds like the mayor's opinion that Ma'is Hashani Mom and Gavayo. So you have a Stam Mishnah like him over there. Therefore, that would imply, says Reb Nachman, that the halacha is like him over here as far as Kiddushin.
That
you can't be Makadish with
him.
Yeah. Okay. Could Reb Yehuda behektish Ma'ihi? Where do we find a Stam Mishnah like Reb Yehuda that says that hektish is the concept of Me'ilah and Hektish is not like a mayor, that there would be a difference between Shregig and Mazid, but rather that or that the difference would be the other way around, like Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah, that if he's Makadish with Hektish, with Shregig, then it is a valid Kiddushin, because then it leaves the Rishus of Hektish, but Mazid not. Where do we see a Stam Mishnah that expresses that idea?
If it's fruit or if it's clothes?
No, because according to that, it would make a difference, clothes or not, but that was only according to the mayor. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Pashtus, there wouldn't be a difference. Anyway, so like this. The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Masechet Me'ilah. Now, first, the Mishnah starts describing a case where a person sends money to a storekeeper with a cheresh shirt of a cotton. So then, he tells them to buy something with this money. Now, a cheresh shirt of a cotton don't have das, so therefore, what happens is, so in other words, the case is actually, so the case is, one second. The case is the Gizbar himself, who is responsible for the treasury of the Bismikdash. He takes some money from there, and maybe not realizing that it was Hektish, and he gives it to a cheresh shirt of a cotton. The din would be, if they do exactly what he told them, then he's committed Me'ilah. Now the Mishnah continues that if he sent, that it'd be Shilach Biad Pikeach, if he sent the money with a regular, normal person who has Das, the Nizko actually Gia Itzochenveni, and he remembers that it's Hektish money before the Shliach reaches the storekeeper, Chenveni Mal, then the storekeeper, when he uses this money, will be the one who committed Me'ilah. Rashi brings from the Gemara over there that why wouldn't the Shliach be Chayev? We learned earlier in this Perek that in such cases the Shliach can be Chayev. The reason is because we're talking about the Shliach also realized that it's the Hektish money. The only one at this point who doesn't know is the Chenveni. Now, if you want to save him from that, then what you do is you machalo that money beforehand on some other money before he gets it. But if you didn't do that, then the chenveni would be the one who commits me'ilah, because he's the one who's shaykh at this point. So now. So he'll have committed me'ilah when he spends that money. So therefore, so we see, in other words, that so we see that there's a difference between shogeg and mazid as far as so we see that this concept of me'ilah, that it leaves the reshus of hektish, and therefore that he's committed me'ilah, applies only to shogeg, not to mazid, and not to stam mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda in our sugya over here, who says that there's a difference between shogeg and mazid in that regard, that the shogeg, therefore the kedushin is valid because then it left the reshus of hektish, and the mazid not because it's still in the reshus of hektish.
How would the Mazid be now case out?
So Mazid would be, if all of them know, it's Hektish money. Oh. So then it's still considered to be in the Rishus of Hektish. In fact, Tosfos points out, the Gemara could have brought a proof from the first case of Cheresh Shor to Bekatan, but there it doesn't explicitly say that if it was Mazid, that it's not Misfowl. Here we see clearly from the Sefer that where it's clear that when one of them is Beshoigig, then it's Me'ilah, implying that if all of them are Mazid, then there's no Me'ilah. So therefore, that bears out the distinction that we're making in our Mishnah between Shogeg and Mazid. However, the Gemara asks, okay, but fine, so what? You're telling me because there's a Stam Mishnah like the mayor about Maiser, and there's a Stam Mishnah like the Yehuda about Hektish, therefore the Halacha is like them respectively, but I can find you a Stam Mishnah like the Yehuda as far as Maiser Sheni as well. I can find you a Stam Mishnah that implies that Maiser Sheni is not Mamun Gavaya. So Vahatnan, we learn in a Mishnah, Hapoida Maiser Sheni Shaloi, if a person is redeeming his own Maiser Sheni, most of all of Chamishiso, he has to add the Choymash there, Bein Mishaloi, Bein Shenitam Loi Matana, whether the Maiser Sheni is his own or whether it was given to him as a gift. So it sounds like, so in other words, somebody else took Maiser Sheni and then gave it to him as a gift. And now it's considered his, so it would have to be, so he'd have to give the Choymash. Now, Mani. So who would that Mishnah be like? Elamid of Meiri. You're gonna tell me it's like a mayor? Can't. Me Moti Yoivle, the Matona. How could somebody else give it to him as a gift in the first place? Well, I'm a Maisa Mom and Gavaya. If a mayor is saying that Maisa Sheni is Mom and Gavaya, then you have no ability to give it as a gift to somebody. Now, you do have, you can have, for example, that, the Mishnah mentions over there, that you can give, for example, you can invite somebody to eat it with you. But, in other words, yeah, you can invite somebody to come and eat, to eat it with you in Yerushalayim, yeah, but you can't give it to somebody as a present. So, according to the mayor, if it's Mom and Gavaya, El Olav Rabbi Yehuda. So wouldn't that mean this Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda? Well, there you have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda that says that Maisa Sheni is not Mamon Gavaya, and therefore it's possible to give it as a gift. And if you give it as a gift, then we mean that then the Mishnah is saying you have to pay a Choymash when you're redeeming it. So the answer is like Lo'olam Rav Meir. No, after all, you could say that Mishnah is like Rav Meir. The Hoch of Maya Skinnan, you're thinking it's talking about that he gave him the Maya Sheni already separated? No, he gave him the fruit while it's still Tevil, before Maya Sheni was taken out. The Kasavar, now, the mayor holds Matonis Shalaihumu, Kimi Shalaihumu Damian. Before the Matonis are taken out, it's not considered that they were actually taken out yet. Sometimes, in various places, the Gemara discusses this point. You could say that the matones are considered as though they were already taken out to the extent the fruit that eventually is going to be Maisa Sheni already has the din of Maisa Sheni. Therefore, it means it's already Mom and Gavaya. The mayor doesn't hold of that concept. So therefore, he would say, or we could say, the mayor doesn't hold of that concept. Therefore, when he gives him Tevil, it doesn't have the din of Maisa Sheni yet. It's not yet Mom and Gavaya. Therefore, he's able to give it to him. Now, later on, when the recipient takes out Maisa Sheni from this Tevil, he's going to have to add a Choymash there.
In other words, the effective of Maisa Sheni does not form with until you...
Until you actually designate it as Maisa Sheni, right.
So meanwhile, what's it called?
It's called Tevil. Yeah.
With also a problem.
No, well, you can't eat Tevil, but you can give it as a gift. So, yeah. Okay. So that Mishnah is not necessarily like Rabbi Yehuda. It could be like Rabbi Meir, and the scenario is different than you thought.
And that
he gave him Maisa Sheni that was already separated, he gave him Tevil that includes future Maisa Sheni in it. Okay, the Gemara says, Toshma, fine, I'll bring you a proof from a different Mishnah. A Mishnah says, Apoida Neter Avai Shaloi. If a person redeems his own Neter Avai, and here this Mishnah is following the version that it's Neter Avai, not Kerem Avai, meaning that it applies to all kinds of fruits, not just grapes. Moisif Olav Chamishisa, he has to add the Choymash, like we learned before, like the Sibyl says. Bein Mishaloi, Bein Shinitan Loi Matana, whether it's his own, whether it grew in his own orchard, or whether it was given to him as a gift. Again, Mani, who would this Mishnah be like? Elamid of Meir, would he say it's like a Meir? Can't. Mi Motzi Yoivle, how could he give it to him? Vahav Gamri Kodesh Kodesh from Maisa Sheni. We said before, we're learning Zeta Shava, according to Basilo, from Maisa Sheni, and just like Maisa Sheni, from Mimaiser, and just like Maisa Sheni is Mom and Gavoya, so is Neter Avai, which is why Basilo said before, you don't give parrots and oilus from it, to the poor.
Because it belongs
to Hashem. So Ella.
Then what can you use yourself for?
You have to take it up. Yeah, you have to take it up. Ella lav Rabbi Yehuda. Wouldn't it mean this Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda? Here we can't answer that he gave it to him as Tevil, of course, because Neter Avai, there's no such thing. There's no Tevil and then whatever you have. As soon as it grows, it's Neter Avai.
And
it's automatically becomes the point of Basil. It automatically has the full Kedusha of Maisa Sheni, including, according to the mayor, that's Mom and Gavaya. So therefore, necessarily, this Mishnah would be like Rabbi Yehuda. There you have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda. So what are you telling me by Maisa? You only have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Meir. Here you have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda. The answer is Loi, not necessarily. Not Loi. La'olam Rabbi Meir. La'olam Rabbi Meir. You could actually say that is according to the mayor. The Hach of Maisa Skinnan going to Yoiv to Smodar. He gave him the fruit when it's still Smodar, when it's still at a very unripe, at a very early stage. Meaning you have, the fruit grows from flowers, you have a point when the petals of the flower fall off, and then you have the very undeveloped fruit over there that you see as like tiny little grapes. That stage is called smodar. Suppose you gave it to the other guy at that point. So it's not yet and Udaloi Kerab Yosi. And namely, this Mishnah would be not like Rab Yosi, Dama smodar also, Rab Yosi Upri. Rab Yosi says in connection with Orla, that smodar is already also, because it's already considered a fruit. The Tana of this Mishnah would be disagreeing with that and saying, no, it's not considered a fruit until it's at a later stage of its development. Now, it can't be that he gave it to him even earlier than that, because then it's a davar shelo b'loilam. So it has to be that he gave it to him at that young stage. So therefore, the Tana would this Tana would hold. It's not yet, doesn't yet have the din of netzer avai. So it's the equivalent of what we said before about giving him the tevel before the ma'aseh sheni was separated. So therefore, so that could work. All right, the Gemara says Toshma. Let's try to bring another proof. A Mishnah says Moshe Chemenu Ma'aseh b'sela. Suppose that one person is buying ma'aseh sheni from somebody else for a sela, and he did meshicha, so they had agreed between them that we're going to sell this amount of fruit for a sela. V'lo hispik l'fdoisei ad she'omed v'shtayim. Before he had the chance to pay the money, it already went up in value, and now it's worth two sloyim. No sin sela, he only has to pay one sela. And with stack of the sela, he gains, he doesn't have to pay the second sela.
Because
ma'aseh sheni shaloi, because the ma'aseh sheni belongs to the lekeach. He acquired it with meshicha. We learned in the previous parak that metalplin you can acquire with meshicha. Well, once he did meshicha, he acquired it. So therefore, the fact that the price went up afterwards, it's not considered that he doesn't have to pay. He doesn't have to bring that extra money to Yerushalayim.
So now, is he paid a little before, or
not? He paid a little. They agreed between themselves that this amount of fruit is worth a seller. Okay. Once he did meshicha, then that price is locked in, and now even if it goes up. So again, Mani, who would this Mishnah be like? Elamid of Meir, would it be like a Meir? Can't. Am I in the stack of a seller? Why is he gaining a seller? If it belongs to Hektish, then Nosen is a Kesef of Komlai Omer Achmana. When it comes to Hektish and other things that are Momen Gavoya, you have the expression in the Pasuk, which is actually a paraphrase of the Pasuk, that you give the money and then you acquire it. So only when the money is paid does it actually change hands. Unlike by a Hediot, where Meshicha is Koine, by Hektish, you need the actual money to change hands, and you don't have that. Elalav Rabbi Yehuda. Evidently, this Mishnah has to go like Rabbi Yehuda. So you have who says that Ma'aseh Sheni is not Mamon Gavoya, it's Mamon Hedya. And therefore, the usual rules of Mamon Hedya to apply to it, including that Meshicha is effective. So therefore, so you have a Stam Mishnah in Ma'aseh like Rabbi Yehuda, like in Ma'aseh Sheni, like Rabbi Yehuda. So what are you telling me that you have a Stam Mishnah like a mayor in Ma'aseh Sheni that Ma'aseh Mamon Gavoya, who therefore the halacha has to be like him? On the other hand, here you have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda. The answer is, the Gemara says, okay, fine, but lo'olam Rabbi Yehuda, fine, I agree with you, this Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, still, but Rabbi Yehuda, we have one Stam Mishnah that follows him. Rabbi Meir, we have two Stam Mishnahs that follow him, because not only that Mishnah that we quoted before, about Kerem Revai, about the Shammai and the Silo, not only does that Mishnah appear in Masechta Ma'aseh Sheni, it also appears in Masechta Avius. So that's the second place where we have a Stam Mishnah like that.
You know, it's the same thing.
So even though it's the same Mishnah repeated twice, but nevertheless, the fact that Rebbe chose to put it as a Stam Mishnah in two places strengthens it.
Two against one.
So if you want to ask why, what do you mean? The Stam Adavka, if you're saying that when you Rebbe is putting a Stam Mishnah, he means that the halacha, Mali Chad Stam, what's the difference? It's one or two. You still have to figure out which Stam Mishnah is it like. Why does two beat one in that case? And the answer is Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok Halacha Kedem Meir Hurul Tnan B'Chirta Kavaseh. It's not just that the Mishnah is mentioned twice. It's because it's fine. We're stopping at the end of the Amar over here exactly. Because one of those Stam Mishnayos according to the Meir is in B'Chirta. B'Chirta is a nickname from Masechta Avius. Masechta Avius, anything, there's the rule throughout Shas, anything that's taught in Masechta Avius is the halacha. Because you have Masechta Avius was he'idu, that the chachamim all gathered together, and different chachamim are testifying about what Udiyu chachamim had taught, and everybody agreed to that, so therefore the halacha is always like it. We know famously from the story in Brachas that when they deposed Rav Gamliel as Nasi and appointed Rav Elazar ben Azariah, that was when they taught Masechta Avius, because now the Beis Medrash is wide open and anybody who wants to come in is welcome to come in. So now they were able to clarify many halachas that were up in the air before that, and that was when Masechta Avius was taught. So therefore, anything in Masechta Avius, the halacha is like that. And therefore, the Gemara calls it B'Pirta, which means the chosen ones, because like everything in there are choice halachas where the halacha is like them. In fact, there's an explanation, I think, from Tiferet Yisrael on Mishnayos. He says, like this, we understand usually the name Adius is Meloshin Eid, because they testified. But he says also it can be Meloshin Idis, like Idis, Venus, and Ziboris. These are the best the choicest of all the halachas in the Mishnah, and the Pirta is there is a direct Aramaic translation of that, and therefore, since that Stam Mishnah is in Masechta Edeos, that gives it greater weight. So it's not just a matter that you have one Stam Mishnah in Maaseh Sheni and repeat it again elsewhere in Shas, but that elsewhere is of all places in Edeos. Therefore, that strengthens the point that Rebbe is telling us the halacha, or the chacham of an earlier generation than Rebbe, who arranged Masechta Edeos, are implying with that the halacha is like the mayor. And therefore, that's how it is.
So the two and one again is...
So it's not a matter of two against one. It's a matter of the one of out of the two. The one of them is an Edeos, and that has much greater weight than any other Stam mission. So therefore, the result of that is the halacha is like the mayor in the end, in that because his opinion is taught as the opinion of Beis Hillel in Masechta Edeos.
So still, at the end, there's one point to it.
So that's it, but those are different yin. So the fact that there's another Stam Mishnah appointed of Yehuda, okay, not always do we pass from like a Stam Mishnah. When we have a Stam Mishnah in one place that's contradicted by a Stam Mishnah in Edeos, then the one in Edeos wins out. So therefore, so in this case, in the matter of Maaseh Sheni, then the halacha winds up being like Reb Meir. In the matter of Hekdesh, where you don't have one Stam Mishnah, like Reb Yehuda, then the halacha is like him.
And Reb Yehuda and Reb Meir, you want those always like the hill, they sell ones like Reb Shammai?
No, not necessarily. The Mishnah that we quoted, Reb Shammai and the Sibyl's opinion, that can only be understood according to Reb Meir. If we understood according to Reb Yehuda, then the whole machlokas wouldn't make sense, because how could you say you don't give Peret and Olus? Why not? It's your mom. Only if we take as a basis for it Reb Meir's opinion that Maaseh Sheni is Mom and Gavoya, then you can learn him Zeh Shavah from it as Beis Hillel does, and say that Kerem Revai has the same meaning. Okay, so that's that, and then the Gemara is going to spend the next couple of blocks dealing with more details about all this business of when Hekdesh is Mechulal and when not, and associated with the opinions of Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda respectively. So that'll be over the next couple of days. We have to.